Maybe your food shopping habits have stayed the same for years, but you probably are aware of the efforts to get more people to eat food that grows nearby. There are many reasons, ranging from the environmental to the psychological. But over time, the people who grow food near you make it easier for you to find them. The Oregon Farm Bureau just extended its offerings into a searchable online database to allow people to look for foods they like on farms nearby. It's part of Oregon's Bounty. And to talk about this, Anne Marie Moss is one of our guests. She's the Oregon Farm Bureau Communications Director. Anne Marie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Linda Nelson joins us as well. She's from the Nelson Family Farm in the Illinois Valley and a member of the Josephine County Farm Bureau. Linda, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us.
So, Anne Marie, let's start with you. Tell us about Oregon's Bounty.
Yeah, Oregon's Bounty is a directory of farm stands across the entire state. And we think it's unique in that it's the largest and statewide. So they're all farm and ranches that offer some sort of either like a U-Pick or a farm stand or an event on a farm to the public. And the website allows you to search by region. And actually the Southern Oregon section has 24 different farms. Farm stands, including Cron Produce, which Linda will talk about. But it's just, the point is to encourage people to go out and visit their local farms and to experience agriculture firsthand, and ideally, you know, maybe to ask a question or two of their local farmer, kind of about, you know, what life is like, or how, you know, how things are raised, or even things like, what can I do to eat this particular product if you've never tried it before.
Right. How do I prepare this kind of vegetable?
Exactly. Yeah. Because there's just farmers and ranchers are great people, and they just do great things, and it's just anything we can do to encourage that connection is wonderful.
So, Anne Marie, is the searchable part of Oregon's Bounty something relatively recent?
Yeah. Well, so to find it, just Google Oregon's Bounty, mm-hmm. or you can go to Oregon FB. That's farm, F as in farm, B as in bureau.org/Oregon's Bounty. And you can do a search for a keyword like strawberries or bedding plants or eggs, or you can do a search by region. And when you find the location, the farms, it is connected with Google Maps, which is very helpful to everyone, of course, these days. And you can do a search. It can help you find the best directions to get there. So that piece is somewhat new. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to improve it.
So let's hear from Linda about Nelson Family Farm. How long have you been in business in the Illinois Valley, Linda?
Well, my in-laws bought this farm when they got married in 1959. It was a farm already, but they weren't growing vegetables. And primarily, the folks had cattle and sheep and sweet corn. And hence the Cron name. Years later, my mother-in-law was painting signs, and somehow she got two letters reversed. So she didn't even notice it. Dad hung him up on the highway. He didn't notice it. Neighbor guy comes over and says, "How do you spell corn?" And she says, "Well, C-O-R-N." He said, "No, you don't." And so many people came in to find out what the deal was that we kept it, we registered it with the state, and so Cron Produce is the produce side of our farm. It has grown to be the biggest part of our farm now, and over time, the diets of people have changed, and just having corn wasn't going to cut it because people weren't preserving 20 dozen ears of corn anymore. Right. They were buying 6 ears. So we expanded into tomatoes, and then my husband took over the management of it about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and we started doing peppers and hot peppers, and that's one of our specialties is hot peppers. Now we have okra and eggplant, and the okra is relatively new for us. Lots of summer squash, and then we have winter squash, and we have a lot of other things. I can't even think of them all because until they start coming on and we're picking them and I'm trying to make room in the stand, mm-hmm. there's just a lot, lots of onions. This year we seeded a total of about 75,000 plants.
Wow. That is a bunch.
and there are just two of us that do that. We've streamlined the process down, and we seed them. And then when they come up, we tend them for a while. We have a germination house. We can do 67 trays of 200 at a time. And then we just have a process of a growing on space. And then after they get to where they a certain size, it's kind of hard to describe because different plants are different. And then we transplant them into a larger cell, which they will grow in the greenhouse until they go to the field.
Okay.
And
So busy stuff.
It starts in January.
Mm-hmm. So Linda, you're on a travel route between inland and the coast, and I'm sure that's
how
a lot of people first discovered you. Do you get a lot of customers who are not from the immediate area?
Yes, we do. Yesterday, I had two young men came in. They were in their 20s, and their car had an Alaska plate on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, they're a long ways from home. And so I grew up in Alaska, so I chatted with these boys. And they told me they were going to school over in Ashland, and they'd been to the coast, and they just wanted to see what we had. And they got so interested that they walked around the field with me and looked at how the squash grow and how you tell which ones to pick. And then they picked my squash for me. And those boys will be back.
Good. Now, how about regulars, though? Are people taking up the idea of eating more local foods around you?
We have new people from right here in the valley every year. They say, oh, I've been driving by for years, but I never stopped. And then we have people who come in from the surrounding areas who have shopped here for years. And my father-in-law used to take corn over when they just had corn. He used to take it over the hill, the back road, to Happy Camp, California. And he would load this little pickup, the whole back of the pickup, up with corn, drive over the mountain, and be there early in the day on payday at the mill. There used to be a mill there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people who come in and say, oh, we're from Happy Camp. We used to go down to the post office, because that was where he parked, and with our grandma, and she would get corn from this old man. I said, well, he's still old, and he's still around.
Linda Nelson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a member of the Josephine County Farm Bureau, but perhaps best known to the public as one of the owners of the Nelson Family Farm in the Illinois Valley, which is where Cron Produce is. So when you see those signs for Sweet Cron, that's the Nelson Family place. We're talking about this in the context of the Oregon's Bounty feature that the Oregon Farm Bureau has put out. So Anne-Marie Moss, Communications Director for the Farm Bureau, is with us as well. You got questions or comments? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Anne Marie, what are you hearing about from farms listed on Oregon's Bounty? Are they getting more business or at least more web hits?
Yes, absolutely, both of those. To be included in the guide, it's a member benefit for Farm Bureau members, so that's kind of the only requirement. People appreciate the additional exposure. We also do a printed version of the guide in the spring. And every year, I get more requests for it. We send them to all of our members, but then I do an extra run, and they just go like hotcakes. People like the idea, even in this day of phones and, you know, online, of course. People like the idea of a directory that they can hold and that farms can pass out to consumers. So it's a website. It's not an app. But it's still easily searchable and usable. And, yeah, it's so Oregon is one of the, according to Oregon State University, about 12% of all farms have started some sort of direct-to-consumer sales because of the large interest and growing interest of locally grown food. And so this is a way for us to kind of help our members connect with the local folks and, of course, even people from Alaska
who
are driving through.
So Linda, do you have any kind of a CSA program or anything like that, or is it all just drop-in sales?
We don't have a CSA program. We talked about it, but it never quite evolved. What we do have is we have a prepaid produce card, and this is super old school. It's a folded-up card, and it has a lot of lines on it for us to make entries.
And we give people, if they put $100 on their card, they get $115 worth of produce credit. So if they buy a card and they can refill it whenever they want, they say they give me $100. So their beginning balance will be $115. And one lady said, I'm going to do that. I can't get 15% on my money anywhere else.
Right.
And so then they just bring their card in when they want to buy whatever, and we total up their purchase, and we deduct it from their balance just by, you know, longhand, old-fashioned. And I find that a lot of people who are older people really like it for coming to the farmer's market because they pay one time, and they just bring their card in. They don't have to hustle with change or anything. And the older people are very comfortable with it. Younger people who are buying quantities of stuff to preserve like it too, because then they've got, they don't have to, oh, do I have enough money to buy a box of peaches? Oh no, I got my card. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do, as opposed to a CSA. And you're selling futures, kind of.
Yeah, you're certainly selling your stuff in advance, yeah.
Right, and what it does for us is it brings in money earlier in the year for our operating money because we have months of no income.
Oh, well, that's right, because, yeah, it's the whole production business. If all your production comes in later in the year.
Right.
And your
We've
expenses
got about
up front.
3 or 4 months of sales and 12 months of expense. So anything we can do to generate earlier funds is a plus for us.
So are the sales all directly through you? I mean, we've talked with some of the Rogue Valley Food System people in the past about the efforts to get local produce into the big chain grocery stores. Are you part of that effort at all, Linda?
No. We have in the past tried selling wholesale. But you don't make much money that way. And if I can sell my product, for example, if I can sell tomatoes at $2 a pound across my counter or at a farmer's market, then, no, it's not all profit, but at least there's no middleman.
Mm-hmm.
If I sell them to a store, they're going to want to get them for $1.50 a pound, and I've just lost 50 cents a pound.
Oh, okay.
So for us, it's a personal thing. We deal with our customers, and like I said, some of them are generational. It's a very personal thing. They think they know us very well. We have people, and some of them do, we have people that say, oh, we went by the other day. We're the people that honk at you.
That's probably 75 a day of those, I'm thinking.
Some days there are, especially if we're out working. I was weeding with my grandson this morning, and somebody honked. They went by. I don't know because I don't know everybody's cars.
Right.
But they honk and wave, and we wave back.
Linda Nelson on the Jefferson Exchange is part of the Nelson Family Farm in the Illinois Valley in Kirby, which is the famous Sweet Cron signs. It was a misspelling that that turned out to be a marketing device. That is listed on Oregon's Bounty. Anne Marie Moss is with the Oregon Farm Bureau, which runs the Oregon's Bounty program. So, Anne Marie, are you hearing similar stories from people across Oregon that there is a greater awareness of local food over time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In Oregon, well, we're have strong diversity in our agriculture, so over 220 different kinds of crops are here. And, you know, particularly in the Willamette Valley and in southern Oregon, the climate is such that so many different kinds of things can be grown. So we are pretty lucky out here. We get, you know, of course, berries. Well, now I'm hearing okra from Linda, all the vegetables and things. And, yeah, there's a huge interest in Oregon-grown products. And I thought it was interesting, like Linda was saying, that so not all selling them at a grocery store doesn't pencil out for all the farmers. So that's maybe another reason why a farm would be more likely to start up a farm stand so they can just sell and leverage a bit more of the profits. Sometimes people forget that farming, unless you're dabbling in it as a hobby, is a business as well, and they're, you know, trying to support their family doing this.
So these must be long, hot days for you this time of year, Linda Nelson.
Yes, they are. And actually, well, like I said, we start planting in January. So then they're cold days, and we're real glad to have this little seed shack to plant in. But in the, this time of year, you put in 12 to 16-hour days routinely.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, my 15-year-old grandson is here staying with us for a month, and he's like, Grandma, I don't want to get up. And I said, too bad. It's the time to get up. So then he gets interested. When I get him over here to the farm, I'll go water the plants. I said, they don't need to be watered. We have hanging baskets of flowers. He didn't really want to weed, but he got busy and weeded, and then he worries about the little plants, and that's kind of sweet.
That's fun. I wanted to ask you mentioned getting into the hot peppers because people were asking about that sort of thing. Were there some hard lessons learned in the handling of hot peppers? It sounds like
tasting, there's been some hard lessons learned in tasting the hot peppers. We start with, almost every year we have a couple of new varieties, and some of them make it and some of it don't. And so they start coming on, and I'm a big chicken. So I get one of the guys, either my husband or the guy that works with us, to try it. Tell me how it tastes. And there's been a few times when somebody went, oh, my goodness, this is hotter than you know where. But we do have to warn people. A little boy came in one time, and he grabbed a pepper, and it was a very hot pepper. And before anybody could say anything, he put it in his mouth.
Oh, no.
And his mother wasn't upset with us. She was upset with him. She said, I have told you to keep your hands off. And I bet you that kid didn't do that again.
No, I bet you. So we have to go in less than a minute, Linda. Are there some quiet moments where you just get to sit and appreciate where you are and what you do?
Oh, yeah. You go out to pick or to weed or to water, and you look up and you just like, thank you, God, for giving me this.
That is the Nelson Family Farm in the Illinois Valley in Kirby. You'll know it as that long straight stretch where you can pass people on the way to the coast, and you see the signs that say Sweet Cron. And it was a misspelling years ago from Linda's mother-in-law, and it seemed to work as a marketing device, so they've kept it. So she is a member of the Josephine County Farm Bureau, Linda is, and so it is the Oregon Farm Bureau that's put out the Oregon's Bounty website with searchable directory. You could just look it up by writing Oregon's Bounty in your Google search window or OregonFB.org/Oregon's Bounty, or just go to our site at jeffexchange.org and follow the link from there. Anne Marie Moss, Communications Director of the Oregon Farm Bureau, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Linda Nelson, pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you for having us. It was fun.